Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to us. Open our hearts and minds now by the power of your Holy Spirit that we might hear what you have to say to us this morning and that we may go out into the world eager to serve you. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is Joshua chapter 1, and actually I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 9. Please stand in honor of God's word. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west, shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was announced that the devil was going out of business and would offer all tools for sale to whoever would pay his price. On the night of the sale, they were all attractively displayed, and a bad-looking lot they were. Malice, hatred, envy, jealousy, sensuality, deceit, and all the other implements of evil were spread out, each marked with its price. Apart from the rest lay a harmless-looking, wedge-shaped tool, much worn and priced higher than any of the others. Someone asked the devil what it was. "That's discouragement," was the reply. "Why do you have it priced so high?" "Because," replied Satan, "it is more useful to me than any of the others. I can pry open and get inside a man's consciousness with that when I could not get near him with any of the other tools. When once inside, I can use him in whatever way suits me. It is so much worn because I use it with nearly everybody, as very few people yet know it belongs to me." It hardly need be added that the devil's price for discouragement was so high that it was never sold. He is still using it. Discouragement can affect us all from time to time. Situations in our personal lives, situations at school, situations at work, in our nation, in our world, wherever we may be, we can become highly discouraged. Today's scripture passage is after Moses has died. Remember, he was prohibited from entering the promised land. He brought them all the way through that desert. I think that's one of the saddest stories, that he had to deal with those Israelites in that desert for 40 years, and then he gets just to the edge, and God doesn't let him go in with them, and because he was disobedient. But I think, there's something about that story that makes me sad, because he really put up with a lot for 40 years out there in the desert. But that was God's will. And God had chosen already that Joshua would be the one to take the Israelites into the promised land. He is second in command. For 40 years in the desert, Joshua, this young man, followed Moses every step of the way. Remember that one time while they were in the desert, Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went to go in and survey the promised land. And he came back along with Caleb, saying that even though it was going to be an enormous task, he believed that God would enable them to capture the land, and the other 10 spies saw no possibility of victory, and it was their report that was adopted. So Joshua and Caleb had failed at that point. Joshua also continued alongside Moses the entire way. He sees himself as an assistant, as a servant leader. And now Moses has died, and Joshua and Israelites are mourning his death. And we can only imagine what they must be thinking. I mean, you know, Moses was one of the greatest biblical leaders of all time. And you can just imagine, here they are, this close to the promised land, and Moses dies. And you can imagine them thinking, how are we going to do this? Who's going to lead us? How are we going to get in there? And Joshua's probably thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? I mean, I've been a servant and I've followed him, but now I don't have him to show me, to guide me, to lead me. He's probably thinking lots of things. And it's at this time that the Lord speaks. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Joshua could have lingered in his sadness and feeling that he was totally inadequate for the job to follow somebody like Moses. And I'm sure he felt quite inferior and couldn't even begin to think how he was going to handle this task at hand, to take this band of Israelites into the promised land. He could have said, now what are we going to do? Our leader's gone. How are we going to go in? But it's like the Lord gives Joshua this jolt, a wake-up call. Moses, my servant, is dead. That is the past. He's gone. We are moving on. And Joshua, you are my man. In the following passages, in that part of the scripture, we can see where the Lord is telling Joshua and telling you and me as well to claim the presence and the power of the Lord in our lives. As I was with Moses, he tells him, I will also be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That means through the good times and through the tough times that you're going to face, Joshua, I'm going to be there. I'm with you. I'm for you. In these 9 verses, the Lord tells Joshua 3 times, be strong and of good courage, as he promises him the land. Be strong and very courageous, as he tells him how to obey the word and don't turn from it, from the right or to the left, that Joshua might prosper. And then he tells Joshua to meditate on the book of the law, the scriptures, day and night, to obey it. And then your way will be prosperous, and you will have good success. And again, in verse 9, which is one of my favorite verses, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you are. Go. God didn't just tell Joshua, be strong and courageous once. He told him 3 times, be strong, be courageous. You got this, I'm with you. That verse 9 is significant to me personally when I battled cancer. It was that verse that really spoke to me and touched me deeply. And it's on the front cover of my prayer cancer booklet, Wherever You Go. Because no matter what we travel through in this life, whether it be cancer or any other kind of problem that comes our way, God is with us wherever we go. The Lord is telling Joshua to be strong and of good courage and not to be terrified or discouraged. And we're living in a world today where it's easy to be terrified and discouraged, isn't it? I mean, this whole thing with coronavirus. I mean, people are terrified, absolutely terrified. I saw that somebody, you know, going into emergency room and stealing all the masks and hand sanitizers. And I mean, people have gone overboard in terror and fear and are so discouraged. Well, the Lord gives guidelines, not just for Joshua, but for you and me as well. The first one he gives him is to study his word. He tells Joshua to meditate on it day and night. How often have you tried to put something together, fix something, or put a new toy together on Christmas Eve, or maybe make a recipe from memory, only to realize you just blew it because you didn't look at the directions, you didn't follow the recipe? And you know, oftentimes we go through life, we have this guidebook right here. And we go through life and we make decisions at times without ever referring to God's word. I'm as guilty as anyone in that regard. You know, sometimes we just make decisions and we don't look to his word for guidance and direction on how we can proceed. God wants you and me to consult the guidebook of life, his precious word. Secondly, he tells Joshua and he tells you and me to obey what's in that word. You know, we can pick and choose the passages that we really like, the ones that are kind of easy to swallow, you know, just like love. You know, that one's kind of easy. But then what about loving your enemies? Praying for those that persecute you? What about turning the cheek? There's a lot in there that God tells us to do, to sacrifice, to deny ourselves, take up our cross. All of those that are the more difficult passages that oftentimes we want to kind of gloss over because we want the easy passages in life. But he tells Joshua and he tells you and me to obey what's in his word. His word is the authority for our lives. And then thirdly, he tells us, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. And we need to believe it. And there's one thing that I wanted to share with you this morning regarding the scripture, and you all should have gotten this sheet that I passed out to the ushers as you were coming in. And one of the things that you can do, you know, the Lord told Joshua to take his word, to study it, to meditate on it day and night. And one of the ways you can meditate on God's word is by praying the scriptures. I don't know if anybody out here has ever prayed the scriptures. Anybody pray the scriptures? Well, I'm going to show you how to pray the scriptures this morning, because this is a wonderful way of taking his word and empowering our lives with his word. So I wrote some scriptures out here. Psalm 121. Let's look at that one for an example. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Okay. So you read the scripture, And then you start praying to Scripture. And this is how you might pray Psalm 121. Lord, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and I'm so grateful for the beauty of your world around me, but it reminds me that you are the creator of all. You made it all, Lord, and my help comes from you alone. And thank you, Lord, that every time I see a hill and I look up, I just thank you that you are the one who is my help. You promised me in your word that you won't let my foot be moved. You promised me that you're not asleep, Lord, that you're awake. Thank you that you're awake 24 hours a day. So when I go to sleep, you're on duty, Lord. And I just thank you for that. Thank you that you are my keeper. You protect me. The sun shall not strike me by day, the moon by night. You protect me. And I just thank you for the protection of you all around me. Thank you that you keep me from evil, that you keep my life. You keep my going out and my coming in, Lord. Thank you for that, that you're with me all the time. As you were with your people, Israel, you are with me. That's one way you could pray Psalm 121. Are you getting it? Okay, go to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I have a lot of people, when I read that scripture in nursing homes and hospitals, when I get to that last line, and if somebody's elderly, they usually chuckle. You know, I'd like to have my youth renewed like the eagles. But it's a wonderful promise, because we can be restored and renewed. And so we might pray this way. You know, Lord, just thank you, and I bless you, Lord. My whole soul blesses you. Everything that's in me, I bless your holy name, because you are my God and I love you. And Lord, help me not to forget everything you've done for me. Because Lord, there are so many benefits just knowing you. And Lord, I just thank you, because I can wake up in the morning forgetting all that you have done for me. Thank you that you've forgiven all my sins. And Lord, they are many. From the time I was born until today, Lord, all my sins and everything that I will do in the future, you have forgiven. And thank you, Lord, that you heal diseases. Lord, you've healed me over the past in times when I've had colds and the flu and I've had cancer. Lord, I can just recount time and time again when you've restored my health over and over and over again. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming me from the life of the pit. There were times, Lord, when things were so bad. And you know that, Lord. You know how bad they were. And you know how I felt I was literally in a pit. And yet you redeemed me. You showed me your steadfast love and your mercy. And Lord, I just thank you that you satisfy me with so much goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness that you give to me. Thank you that it makes me feel as though I'm a young person again, because you give me renewed energy and strength. And then Joshua 1:9, the passage from today, let's read that one together. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Gracious God, you command me to be strong and courageous, and you know, Lord, I am weak and I am fearful. And I just pray, Lord, that you help me not to be afraid, because that's your desire, that I not be afraid and I not be discouraged. And you know I'm really discouraged right now. And there's this problem, Lord, that is really discouraging me. And so I bring it before you now, Heavenly Father. And I ask that you lift me from this discouragement, that I might sense your wonderful presence. Help me always, Lord, to trust that you're with me wherever I go, everywhere, that I don't need to be fearful, And Lord, we hear so much fear in the world today. Help me as your believer to stand strong on your promises, not to be afraid. And then finally, John 14:27, one of my favorite passages. Let's read that one together as well. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Gracious God, I so much need your peace right now. Your peace is something that can't be bought. Your peace is not something I can go and grab a hold of. Your peace comes from knowing you and having that relationship with you. And so I thank you that you give it to me just in belief alone. Help me, Lord, not to have my heart troubled, but just help me to take in your peace and your presence day in and day out, that I never will be afraid. That's how you can take God's word and pray it into your life. You know, oftentimes we read it, close up our Bibles, and then, you know, we go back to doing what we're doing. And if you really want the scriptures to come to life in your life and to be strengthened and empowered by them, start praying them into yourself. You even put your name in there and pray the scriptures to yourself. We've been doing in Monday Night Bible Study the study by James Moore about give up something bad for Lent. And he shared this story. He said a preschool teacher felt worn out and burnt out. She was a committed teacher, but she felt tired and discouraged. And the children were really beginning to get on her nerves. They were driving her up the wall. Then things got worse. Word came that her mother had died. She was very close to her mother, and she was devastated by her sudden loss. After the funeral, she took some time off to work through her feelings. Her grief made it even harder for her to go back into the classroom. Finally, when she returned to school, she felt like she was more a soldier going into battle than a teacher of preschoolers. The first day back, she went through the motions like the competent professional she was. Even though she felt sorry for herself, she felt that she was covering it very well. But on the second day back to school, something happened. She discovered 5-year-old Rachel, by the way, was the most distant, difficult, disruptive child in her class. And she discovered her picking the last chrysanthemum from the flower pot in the hallway at the school. In a stern, trembling voice, the teacher said, "Rachel, what are you doing?" Rachel held out in her little hand the flowers she had already picked. "Mrs. Terrell," she said, "you used to be like a mother. I know you are fussed in your mind. Maybe these flowers will help you be like a mother again." Mrs. Terrell was taken aback. "Fussed in my mind," she thought. "You mean it shows to a 5-year-old? Then Mrs. Terrell asked, "Rachel, what is a mother like?" "A mother is like you used to be," Rachel said. "I like being with children. It's just that, well, Rachel, my mother passed away." And Rachel meekly interrupted, "You mean she died?" "Yes, Rachel, she died." Rachel looked up at her teacher with big brown eyes and asked, "Did your mother live until she died?" Mrs. Terrell thought, "What kind of a question is that?" And, "Well, honey, of course, all people live until they die. And then Rachel interrupted again. "Oh, no, they don't, Mrs. Terrell. Some people change. They stop being what they used to be. They walk around, but they don't seem alive anymore." Rachel paused, and then she said, "Please don't die, Mrs. Terrell. Stay alive for us. Be like a mother to us again." Mrs. Terrell hugged her tightly, and through her tears, she said, "I will, Rachel. I will." May you and me live before we die. Even when things get tough, may we have an attitude of hope as we turn to God in his word, as we meditate on it day and night, and as we are not fearful, but we seek him and know that he is walking with us every step of the way. May we have the attitude of the man that Larry Olson often describes, who was lost in the desert. He's been out of food and water for days. His lips are swollen. His tongue is swollen. He's all beat up and bloody. Some of his bones are almost peeking through. He has been scraped and beat up by the cactus, sand, and sun. He's blistered. As he's crawling over this little hill, he comes across this little plant and props himself up on one bloody elbow, looks down at this plant and says, "You know, if things keep going like this, I might get discouraged." Cling to his word. Obey it and rest assured that God is with you, because he is the one that keeps us going when we get discouraged. When we look to him, he is the one. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for those wonderful promises that you gave to Joshua, whom we are sure was probably terrified at the task that was before him and discouraged and downhearted that Moses was gone. And Lord, you remind us in your word, as you told Moses abruptly, "My servant Moses is dead. It's time to move on. And you're my person." Lord, sometimes we can get so easily discouraged by things in life. And help us to hear your words to us. Help us to put the past in the past and help us to look forward to what you have in store, trusting you in your word, praying your scripture into our lives that we might have strength and hope, and trusting that you walk with us and you will never, ever leave us or forsake us. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' precious name.